Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you how incredible it is. God, I thank you that you resource our lives through your word, through your promise. God, I thank you that tonight you activate your word for us to fulfill your purpose. God, please, God, we thank you for being faithful to your word. God, thank you for our interns. God, thank you for Chano, his family, the couple dozen kids that are in his house. God, I just thank you for all the Trevinos. And God, just bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Hey, turn your Bibles to the book of James. Hey, here's your homework. How many of you guys want homework at church? Okay, three of you. That's perfect, okay? Four. Okay, so here's your homework. Just go home and read the book of James. It'll take you about 8 or 10 minutes. And I'll tell you, it gives us such an incredible insight into the life of God in Christ, into our relationship with Jesus. And what he gives us, what God did is he sent his word. And then it's always about the why. See, our flesh wants to continually focus on the what and the how, but it's immaterial if the why is enough, if the why is big enough. And you know, we started this church, you know, in August, we got our first building 25 years ago this August. And then in December, we started the church. And you know, really honestly, there wasn't, we started on Sunday night because we wanted to reach people that didn't like church. And if we started on Sunday morning, it would have felt like church. And what a compliment to us is, and it still is, honestly, when people come in and go, man, this doesn't feel like church. It's like, okay, good. That's that. We don't want it to feel like church. We don't want, we want it to be a generational church, but we also want to reach this generation. We want to reach teenagers and kids. Our kids are at camp right now. Our teenagers, we have a camp that's on Fort Gibson. It's called Fort Guts. We're, you know, and just amazing things happen at that camp every year with young people. But we look at this, so when we started, it's like, what are we going to do? And honestly, didn't know what to do. And that's where I came up with in my heart, where I believe it's spirit led, that man, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know to do. And that's all I did. So all I needed to do was just invite people to church, and I'd find people that didn't look like church fit their lives and they didn't fit into church, and I would invite them. And you know what? It's just a numbers game. You know, you guys are in sales. You got to make a certain amount of calls to sell a certain amount of people to close a certain amount of people. And let me just tell you, if we're not closing people, I don't know what good we are. And I understand, but listen, Paul said, some sowed, Apollos watered. He said, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God provides the increase. And I get that, but I'm telling you, we've got to have that closer mentality because, man, people need to go to heaven. We need to populate heaven. And you know, James in this, listen, he's talking to us, and here he is, the half-brother of Jesus, and he writes this letter, and the idea of it is, listen, you're going to go through stuff. You're going to have to deal with stuff. Everyone in this room is dealing with something right now. Either you're in something, or you've just come out of something, or you're heading into something that you would rather not be in. That's what life is. What Jesus promised us is in this world you'll have tribulation. And he didn't just leave it there. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. I've set you up to win. Write that down. I'm set up to win. God has rewired my life since I'm born again to win now. All we do is win. Why? Because that's how we're wired. We're not who we used to be. That sometimes you win, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. I don't like that. Man, I'm telling you, I'm raising kids, and I've got a home, and I've got people in my life now. And man, I want those people to win. I want them to win every day. But how do we do that? We do that by making decisions to win. You choose to win. You decide to win. See, because let me just tell you, life doesn't carry a scoreboard. Life doesn't have a clock to it. We're not running out of time. Man, to God, it's not, his timing has nothing to do with a clock or a watch. It's not chronological. That timing, listen, has everything to do with our faith. To just live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. Well, why is that? Because it's our faith that triggers God's timing. You know, there's people who say, well, you know, in God's time, you never know about time. Well, no, here's God's time. A day is as of 1,000 years. Well, I can't wrap my mind around 1,000 years. And especially now that everything's happening, technology and knowledge and everything's happening so quickly now, you can't even keep up with it. Man, I've just decided I can't get out in front of technology. I'm not even going to try. See, so what do? We've got to get out in front, listen, of the issues of our life. And we're always going to have them. Jesus said it. In this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have it. Quit whining about it. Man, in everything, you know what we don't do? We don't grumble or complain. Why? We win. Man, we're built to win. We're wired to win. We're born again. Keys to death and the grave have been given us. He's given us the keys to his kingdom. And see, but listen, you've got an enemy, but he doesn't have any armor. So if all you're doing is playing defense in your life, let me tell you something. You're not living the greatest life known to man. Now, let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to start taking some shots. You've got to start calling some plays and break a tackle. Man, you break a tackle, let me tell you, you're going to go score. And see, all that requires is you making decisions. All that requires is you being committed to God's promise. Man, there's so many people, you'll get a diagnosis of something and you'll commit to that diagnosis. Man, you've had something in your past that's been traumatic, and then you commit, listen, your thought life and your mindset to that thing that you've gone through. Well, you know what you're doing? You're committing your future to that. So many people have such a hard time with change. So many people have such a hard time with transition. Let me just tell you something. With God, there's a time and a season for everything. Everything changes is what that's saying. See, so now what do we got to do? Man, we've got to embrace change. Are you ready for this? We've got to lead change. See, I believe that to be a responsibility for the church. Man, the world's going through so many changes. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had a dozen pastors here, black, white, and Hispanic, and we talked about racial unity. Let me just tell you something. We didn't quit talking about it. We just got to start living it. And I'll give you the way to live it. Do you guys want to know how to do it? See, because I'm sure some of you guys were raised in a bigot home. Man, some of you guys have parents or grandparents or in-laws. Let me tell you, my grandfather was a horrific racist. Man, he lived 6 blocks from East St. Louis in the 60s. I'm telling you, the racism then was ridiculous compared to now. But let me just tell you, what's required to break that? A choice. There was no generational curse on me to be a racist. I had to make a choice not to be. And you know what? It was easy for me. You know why? I was an athlete. So, you know, there's a kid, my best friend, his dad was Italian, his mom was Filipino, and I saw him get picked on all the time. I saw how people looked at him. And let me tell you, I was a kid. I didn't understand it, but let me tell you something. I understood it. I didn't like it, but I didn't get why they would do that. See, and how do we get to that place of unity? How do we get to that place of celebrating diversity? Man, we go to Luke, the 6th chapter, and here's what Jesus said, real simply. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give. Let me tell you about my life. Before I was a Christian, I was a sinner, all right? And that's novel. See, I don't view myself as a sinner anymore. Yeah, you'll say, well, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but my identification now is in Christ, not in that nature of sin. See, that's what I'm talking about here. And I understand people write blogs and there's haters that'll just take that out of context. I want to give you some context here. It's all about your mindset. If you have a mindset that you're going to win, guess what you're going to do? You're going to win. If you got a mindset that I don't know if I can do it, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Doc, how bad is it? Let me just tell you, man, what we've got to understand now is there are going to be reports that are contrary to your favor. But the report of the Lord always equates to favor in your life. Write that down. The report of the Lord will always equate to favor in your life. So much so, listen, the Bible calls you the head and not the tail. The Bible calls you above and not beneath. The Bible says, are you ready for this? Everything you put your hand to prospers. Everything. Man, you know what the Bible says? Let me go to an extreme of God's word, and it's right smack in the center of God's heart. And it seems like it's too good to be true, but it's not. If you think about this in a supernatural sense, the Bible says God gives us the power to get wealth. And it's not to fulfill our pleasure. It's not for us just to get whatever we want. It says God gives us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. See, do you understand that the covenant that God's made with us is a covenant of wealth? It is. He gives us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. See, so all this is an introduction to the point that I want to make here tonight. And that point is in James, the first chapter, the second verse. My brethren, count it all joy. And you'll think, oh, good. This is going to be awesome. When you fall into various trials, oh my gosh, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now think about this. What if that doctor's report that's not good is not a test of your health? What if it's a test of your faith? What if your revenue right now, your personal revenue, or but personally what you have, and like, what if that's not a test of your finances, or a test? What if that's a test of your faith? Let me just tell you, that's the realm we need to put it in. Everything in our life, every single day, no matter what we have to do is we have to consider this life that we live now. We live it by faith now. I don't live it by money. I don't live it by friends. I don't live it by how I feel. I don't live it by what I see. I live it by what I trust. Where are you going to put your trust? Where are you going to put your trust? I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, God's the only trustworthy, and there's nothing else in the universe that's trustworthy other than God. And see, that's how we have to look at it. Man, so many people come to a church to get their life changed, get disappointed, and leave. Why? They put their trust in something other than God. You know what men are going to do? Let you down. You know what women are going to do? Let you down. If your expectation is in a man or a woman that's never going to fail you or never going to let you down, you're going to be disappointed. But it's in God. See, that's why we've got to. How many times do you think Jesus looked at people and said, repent? The Bible says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means, you know what? Man, make a violent about face and go after the kingdom now. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, God's way of doing things is at hand now. Repent, turn your back on the way you used to live. Man, you don't want to get everything your flesh wants. Man, I know raising our kids. All three of our kids, they went through little seasons where, man, let me just tell you something. I'm going to teach you how to receive no. I'm going to teach you how to hear no. I'm going to teach you. So here's the deal. From now till I get tired of it, I'm going to say no to everything you ask for. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you secure. I'm going to make sure you go to school. But other than that, Everything you ask for, it's going to be no until you learn how to hear it. Well, let me tell you, we're not born with this ability to overcome our flesh. We're not born with a discipline in our lives. That's all learned. Do you understand that? Man, we learn how to discipline our lives. We learn how to overcome our flesh. We have to learn how to crucify our flesh. The Bible says day and night. We have to learn how to do that. We have to subject ourselves to God's word. See, so count it all joy when you fall into a trial. Why? Because the testing of your faith, it's a test of your faith now. So what you're about to go through, or what you're in right now, or what you've just been through, is simply a test of faith. So here's where you go with this. Man, you ask yourself, okay, what am I learning with this? What have I learned? Or what is this teaching? Man, what is this going to teach me? What am I going to learn from this? Because that's where the discipline is. Man, you disciplining yourself is you taking yourself to school. And guess what? You don't want to miss a day of school. You don't want to let your guard down. Man, you don't want to leave your house without your sword. Let me tell you, you're going to have a battle. Man, I was on the phone yesterday with Taylor, and the third guy that cut me off on 81st Street, and it's a half a mile from my house, and it's the third guy that cut me off. And I'm like, I'm telling you right now. And you know what? That little sucker had the audacity to eyeball me. He did. I'm not playing. Man, he mean mugged me. He looked at me. I'm like, so you know what? I've got to be honest. I gave it right back to him. I was on my way, listen, to the pastor's event that we were doing, that we were going to exemplify. So I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, let me tell you something. I'm about to tear this steering wheel off and wrap it around your head, son. It's on. He pulls into the Walmart Market at 81st and Sheridan. Guess what? And I'm on the phone with my son, who I'm mentoring as a man of God. And he goes, what are you doing? You're distracted. You're not listening to me. I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm listening to every dad. He goes, what about that tone? What kind of attitude you got with me right now? I said, I got attitude with this little Hank, this little sucker that's pulling into the Walmart Market. I'm fixing to go follow him in there. He said, Dad, no, you're not. Dad, you pastor a church. We don't need a headline. People have iPhone cameras, Dad. It will be caught. So you know what? What I had to do is I had to crucify my flesh. I did. I drove, it took me a couple miles to get that image of me ripping his face off out of my head. And you know what? I calm down. I'm driving. I get here. And you know what I'm doing? Hey, brother, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. Hey, bro, man, you're looking good. I'll tell you what. How about that? Hey, oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord. How about that, huh? Talk to me. The strength that's in my life. And let me just tell you something. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to make decision after decision after decision after decision. And in everything, guess what? We pursue righteousness. In everything. And see, and that's the whole idea. Because John 10:10, if you don't have an amplified, read it on the screen. Please, get an amplified Bible. Download the app. But get the amplified, okay? Listen, and you guys all know John 10:10. In the New King James, it says, the thief comes up to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you life, and that life what? More abundant, okay? So abundant life. Listen to this in the Amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. See, and how's the thief coming into your life? He's not coming into your heart or your spirit. He's coming into your flesh. See, he comes in, and here's how he comes in. The thief comes in, number one, to depress you. Don't think of it in terms of depression yet. Think of it in terms of depress, okay? To push you down, to keep you down, to keep a lid in your life, to thoughts like this. And here's how the thief will come. You'll get thoughts like, man, we just can't get ahead. You'll get a nail in your tire, and you'll take it to the tire store, and you'll say, man, can you fix this? And they'll say, man, we can't fix it. You need a new tire. It'll be $400. And you know what? The first thought you get isn't, yes, praise God, I'm getting a new dadgum tire. No, the first thought you get is what? What else is there? $400 tire, is it 24 karat gold coating? Is it feeding half of Africa? $400 for a tire, are you kidding me? And you know what? He's like, well, why don't you go to the used tire place? Why don't you get one of those out-of-round tires like you get in Dexter? They're in the dadgum round tire in Dexter, Missouri. They're all out around, right? Everybody's riding in it. But see, the point is what's the devil going to do? He's going to come and he's going to try to depress you. Okay? And because he doesn't want to stop with depressing you, he wants to bring depression. So now you live with this cloud over you. And then you know what? He wants to oppress you. And now let me tell you something. He's knocking on the door of your heart. You know what he's doing? He's out there. So everywhere you go, oppression in your life is when, you know what? You find something negative in every situation. It's hard for you to celebrate. You get critical. You get judgmental. It's hard for you to forgive. That means you're in a form of oppression. But he doesn't want to stop there. He wants to get the possession. And you're here right now and you'll think, well, man, I might have a devil. If you've got Jesus as the Lord of your life, you don't have a devil in you. But he very well may be on your back. You may be carrying around a backpack of devil. And you know what? All it's doing is just keeping your life down. All it's doing is keeping you from running in that race to win. Does this register with anybody? Are you having a hard time? It's, man, I'm running so hard. I'm worn out with it. Why? Because you're carrying a backpack of oppression, of the devil. Man, the devil's jumping on your back. And you might think, it's not that big a deal. It's only 20 pounds. It's only 40 pounds. It's only 50 pounds. That's no big deal. When I was in the military, I carried a 50-pound backpack like it was nothing. No, let me tell you something. If you got a 50-pound pack in your marriage, it's something. Because let me tell you, if I'm carrying a pack in my marriage, it's not just me carrying it. Sandy and I are one. Man, that's why, let me give you a case in point. If somebody says something or does something to Sandy, it hits me much harder than if somebody says something or does something to me. Man, somebody cuts Sandy, mean mug Sandy on the road, I'm hanging up on Taylor. I'm telling those pastors to be warm and well-fed, have a good life. And I'm going in there and I'm calling the media and I'm saying, hey, in about 5 minutes, there's going to be a Titanic bout in the parking lot of the Walmart market. Why? Because we're one. See, that's what we have to understand. The things she allows in her life, they come into my life, maybe in a different form. The things that I allow in my life, they come into her life in a little bit different form. Man, so you know what? Man, a lot of times we look at it, something will be going on and we'll sit down. And it's like, okay, where's the door open? We got to find where the door's open. Why? The enemy wants to depress us. Because then he wants to bring oppression. Then he wants to come into your life and possess it. But in order for that to happen, you've got to deny Jesus. You got to say, Jesus, you're out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to pray your name anymore. I'm not going to put you first anymore. So the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Now, here's what Jesus said. You guys ready for a breath of fresh air? He said, I came that you may have and enjoy life. I'm not asking you to be all Pentecostal, but man, you could at least act like you're breathing. You got to act like you could fog a dead gum mirror. You know what I'm saying? I came that you may have and enjoy life. That's why Jesus came. Did Jesus come? Is he Lord of your life? Why did he come? So you can have and enjoy life. Now listen, and have it in abundance. And here's what he said, to the full, till it overflows. If that overflowing life, nature, attitude, spirit, person of Jesus is in your life, who cares what's going on everywhere else? See, two words, write them down. Here's your mission, enjoy life. That's it. And you know, you guys go, man, I read the word, I just don't understand it. Really, you make Jesus Lord of your life. Now you can make a choice to have and enjoy life. You get that flat tire and that $400 tire they're putting it on. And they'll say, well, yeah, but you know what? The other three, you've only got probably another 6 months with them. And you know what? They're just upselling you. That's their job. That's what they want to do. You say, no, no, I'm counting this joy to put that tire on my car. Okay? I'm making myself count it joy. I'm determined to enjoy my life. That's what's got to be the statement. of your life. I'm determined to enjoy my life. I'm determined to enjoy my kids. I'm determined to enjoy this phase that my kid's in. I'm determined to enjoy it. And then we get to a place where the Bible says, do all things as of unto the Lord. Do all things. So that means you've got to do this habitually. This has got to be your go-to. Man, I've got buttons trust me, Sandy, she gets up here. She's so sweet, so coy, and so gentle. But let me tell you what, she knows how to push my buttons, don't you? And it's kind of a game to her sometimes. I'm like, what did you say to me? Evidently, you don't know me, girl. See, I'm not, I could go bad. I could be a bad dude. I could be a, man, you lose a little bit of weight, Mark. You're still a bad dude, right? Huh? Squeeze? But see, we do all things as of unto the Lord, habitually. Shut up, you're so stupid. It's got to be, no, don't, I'm going to say, I want you guys to stay together married, but I might split you up here in church. If you're going to sit there and talk, you're like Taylor. I look over here, I'm real serious, I'm preaching, Sandy's giggling. And I was like, oh yeah, you're sitting next to Taylor. He's making fun of something. I gotta check my fly. Do I have a big stain under my armpit? Is it, what's going on up here? But this has gotta be habitually that you enjoy life. You gotta determine, you gotta make a decision. I'm gonna make a decision. I'm gonna make a decision. No matter what, I'm gonna enjoy my wife. How about that? How about that? I'm gonna enjoy my wife. I'm gonna enjoy my church. I'm going to enjoy this service. You know what? I'm going to enjoy that music. I'm going to enjoy our staff. I'm going to enjoy our interns. I'm going to make a decision. And let me tell you, we have people like that. Juan Charles, I'm not kidding you. If you have a problem, if you're like, I can't figure this enjoy thing out, take a day off work and come and serve with Juan for one day. Forget it, for one morning. And you'll think, oh my gosh, he's cracked the code. He's figured this out. See, because the bottom line is, if I can enjoy where I am, if I can enjoy who I am, if I can enjoy the people God's put in my life, guess what? I think I could become a disciple. I could learn to abide in the word. I also think that I can pursue God at a place where I'm growing and maturing and there's something being built great in my life. See, but I think this is the first part we have to go to. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, give you this life that you can enjoy. And you know, they had to be there just scratching their head over it thinking, are you kidding me? Man, do you know how many haters Jesus had? And he's teaching his guys, man, you got to enjoy life. Let's enjoy this. And then so much so that, and he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for the joy. Man, he enjoyed that. You know why? He knew that this day was coming. For the joy that was set before him. What was set before him? That there'd be a church service at the end of June in a midweek in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where you give your life to him. You get your life right with God. That's why he went to the cross. That's why there was a joy to it. And you know what? That joy happens when you know the why. Why do we do this? Because this church, God put it on people's heart to start this church where it started. It's all, let me tell you, it's all the divine action of God. Why? To win the world to Jesus. How? To help people win. Man, what part of your life are you not winning? Here's what we do. At the end of every service, we have ministry people that flank the stage. And if you need prayer for anything, why would you need prayer for something? Because you're not winning in an area. And let me tell you, that not winning in that area is a little foothold that the enemy has in your life. That's all it is. Just a little foothold that he wants to become a stronghold in your life, that he wants to strangle you with. See, so you can just ride it out and let it go. Or you know what? You can humble yourself, allow God's hand to become the mighty hand of God, And then submit yourself to him and resist the devil and he'll flee. And that's what these people are here to help you do. They live to do that. And let me tell you, they'll stand up here for 15 or 20 minutes after each service and watch people not come. Listen, that are bound. That have got that 50-pound backpack of devil on them. And they'll leave. How you doing? Good, good. Blessed, brother. How are you? I'm blessed. And you know what? 3 months later, they're receiving divorce papers. Why? Because the devil doesn't play. Man, he will take an inch at a time and you don't even realize it. He'll lay in the weeds for 30 years to trip you up. Man, if you're praying, say, God, I just thank you that you keep Pastor Bill on his path. Don't let him get off in the weeds. It's not about poison ivy. It's about losing your life. It's about taking people with you. Man, you're here. How many mature believers are in here? The last thing you want to do is cause a little one to stumble. You might as well tie a mill. Isn't that right, Charlie? You might as well tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the lake. See, whatever it is, it's not worth it. So let's go back to it. Enjoy life. Pursue righteousness in everything. Right living, right thinking, right speaking, right acting. And let's just be who God's called us to be. You with me on that? Now, this is why Jesus went to the cross. Is there anybody here who needs to give their life to Jesus? Is there anybody here that needs to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Get your life right with God. You know, we have to be aware of God's presence and God's love in our lives. That's what God does. Man, he loves us and supplies his presence. That's what you're feeling right now. That's what you're going through right now. See, here's how this works. He speaks and he leads. We hear and we follow. See, you guys don't need me waking up in the morning and go, man, I got a great idea. You don't. We need to wake up in the morning and hear God's voice. Because God's speaking, God's leading. And what I'm asking you to give your life to make Jesus Lord your life, to get your life right with God, is you let God into everything in your life. Everything. Everything. And we enjoy everything in life with God. But that starts with us giving everything to him. Man, do you have care in your life that's jacking with you? You got to cast it upon him. Man, you might be in a transition. You might be in a change in your life. Cast that care of that change to the Lord. Man, don't lay awake at night. Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. That's a full-time job for me. Is your life right with God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you're here and you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, or you just need to get your life right with God, just raise your hand right now wherever you are, whomever you are. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. Anybody else? Do we two guys go help me up there? Might have to hustle. She's yelling. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody? Okay, hang on 1 second. We can take care of some business here. Is there anybody else? Just need to get your life right with God. God bless you, sir. You got me, Jeremy, you got me over there. Second row on the end. Anybody else? Just need to get your life right with God. That's it. Is there anyone else? I was just reminded, too, Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs. So I think it's important for us to know that in ministering to people, man, it's great to have a partner. It's great to have somebody with you at that time. We just exampled that. See, a lot of times you're not having an impact on people's lives because it's one-on-one. Bible says two are better than one. Jesus sent them out in pairs. There's a supernatural principle to that. Will you all pray with me? Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God, and I mean it with everything. I'm asking you to come into my life, every single part of it. God, I pray your blessing upon everybody in this room, everybody on the internet. God, your hand is definitively upon our lives. Thank you so much, God. Man, there's such a sweet spirit of God in here tonight. Just enjoy it. Say this with me. Father God, I choose tonight to enjoy this life that you have given me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.